Right, well, welcome. We are a small group, but we're reaching out to a much wider group as the service goes out online, and so many, many more people will have the opportunity of joining in with us. We're going to start with Fight the Good Fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength, and Christ thy right. So let us sing. Now we're coming to prayer. Let us come to the Lord in believing prayer. Dear Lord, teach us how to lead the kind of life you love to see. We want to please you and to be an example to others. We want to serve you by telling people that we meet all about your love and how you have made available the kind of salvation by going to the cross and giving your life to pay the price of their sins. We want to thank you that you led a life of servanthood while here on earth, and we wish to show our appreciation by living the lives of servanthood ourselves, and by telling others the benefit when we put others first and ourselves last. We want to remember today some of our own people who are not able to be with us now. And we pray for John, and ask, Lord, that you would be very close to him, that you would be his companion in this very difficult time. We pray for Helen. Lord, she needs your help. And we want to pray for the people that are looking after Helen. Lord, she's going through very, very difficult time. And we want you, Lord, to be all that she needs. We pray for Stuart and Jean. We know that they will be listening to the service as it goes out online. And we pray that you would be all that they require. Be with their family too. We pray for April. Lord, it's been a long and difficult time for April. But we know, Lord, that she loves you, and we know that you are with her. Richard and Jilly are not with us today, and they, of course, lead our worship normally, and we miss them. But we pray, Lord, that as they are serving you in another place, we pray that you would equip and empower them by the power of your Spirit. We pray for Graham, who is not well, and ask that you would be his strength. Then, Lord, we want to thank you for the good news that we have heard about the way that Israel and Damas have come to an agreement, and we're already seeing evidence of the peace that they have promised to give. And we thank you for the people that have been released, and we pray, Lord, that that union between the two nations will be a good, long, and peaceful one. And Lord, we also pray for the situation between Russia and Ukraine. Lord, we are so disappointed at what's been happening. And we pray, Lord, that you would give to Ukraine all the help that they need to achieve a true and honest peace. So, Lord, we pray for all nations, we pray for all leaders, we pray for all carers, we pray for all professionals. And Lord, we pray for all the volunteers that are helping people who are in need of a variety of different things. And Lord, we want to thank you that you led that life of servanthood while you were here on earth. And we wish to show our appreciation by living lives of servanthood ourselves, and by telling others that you love them and you want to be all that they need. And so, Lord, we praise you for your teaching. Your teaching is great. We thank you for your example, and we put our lives before you. We ask that you should take over, that you should help the witness of the people here, and that you should help the witness of all Christians. We need to be on fire with the Spirit. We need to be equipped, Lord. So we pray, Lord, that you would work through us, and we pray that the glory will be yours and yours alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways, reclothe us in our rightful mind, in purer lives thy service find, in deeper reverence praise. Let us hear those words as we sing the next song. Right now we come to a Bible reading, and Brian is going to share that with us today.
Bible reading, Romans 12, verses 1 to 8.
Speak a bit louder, please.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. For by thy grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more than highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not have or have the same function, so in Christ we are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully.
Find out if they came to join in the service. Hey? Can't you learn to speak? Please. You go and speak to them. Right. Right, so who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be His helpers, other lives to bring?
Thank you.
Right. Right, the message. Excuse me. The message is serving our God. And there are 2 points. The first is, do we see our calling? What is our calling? Our calling is not primarily to be holy, not to be holy men and women, but it is to be proclaimers of the gospel of God. The one all-important thing is that the gospel of God should be recognized as an abiding reality. Reality is not human goodness or holiness or heaven or hell. No, reality, it is redemption. It's the need to perceive this as the most vital need of the Christian worker today. We have to get used to the revelation that redemption is the only reality. That's the only thing that is important at this particular point. Personal holiness is an effect of redemption, not the cause of it. You see, if we place our faith in human goodness, we will go under when testing comes. You know, Paul did not say that he separated himself. Oh no. But when it pleased God who separated him, then he was happy. You see, he was not overly interested in his own character. And as long as our eyes are focused on our personal holiness, we will never get close to the full reality. Oh no. Christian workers fail because they place their desire for their own holiness above the very desire to know God. Paul would say, don't ask me to be confronted with the strong reality of redemption on behalf of the filth of human life surrounding us today. That's what he would say. What we want is anything God can do for us to make us more desirable. To talk that way is a sign that the reality of the gospel has not begun even to touch us. There is no reckless abandon to God in that God delivers us while our interest is merely in our own character. You see, Paul was not full of himself. A lot of Christians are full of themselves. He was recklessly abandoned, totally surrendered, and he was not separated by God. He was totally surrendered. He was separated by God. Why? For one purpose, to proclaim the gospel of God. That was his purpose. Number 2 is the servant's primary goal. What is our main goal? Well, here we are. It comes from Corinthians 2, chapter 5, verse 9. We make it our aim to be well-pleasing to God. In other words, the first thing we must do is we must make sure that our lives, what we do, what we say, is pleasing to God. We must do that. We must. And you know, it means that becomes our top priority year in and year out. No, not making notice this particularly. It's not our first priority to win souls or to establish churches or to have revivals, but seeking first and foremost to be well pleasing to Him. And then those other things like winning souls, establishing churches, having revivals. Yes, then there is a place for them. But we must make sure that overall, what we're doing, the way we're doing it, is pleasing to God. Because any other lack of spiritual experience only leads to failure. At least once a week, in other words, we should examine ourselves before God to see if our life is measuring up to the standard that God requires of us. You know, in a sense, Paul was like a musician. Like a musician who gives no thought to the audience's approval. Oh no. If he only can catch a look of approval from his conductor. Any goal that we have diverts us even to the slightest degree from the central goal of being a priest to God may result in our rejection from future service for God. When we discern where God leads, we will understand why it is so necessary to keep looking to Jesus. You see, Paul spoke of the importance of controlling his own body so that it would not take him in the wrong direction. He said, "I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest I should become disqualified." You know, we must learn to relate everything to the primary goal without interruption. In other words, that goal is making sure that what we do, how we do it, why we do it, is first and foremost to please God. You know, anything that's less than that goal of wanting to please God, well, it's not going to work. That's not what God wants. Yes, God, of course, He wants us to do the things that He calls us to do. And yes, the gospel is clear. We need to share the truth of the gospel with people. We need to seek the lost. We need to feed those who want to know more about Jesus. We want to live honest lives. We want to be great examples. But unless we are seeking first and foremost to please God, then we will fail. So, you might say, "I go to church every Sunday." You might say, "I tell people about Jesus." But is it all I when you say those things? Is it all more about you than Jesus? these are the things that we need to examine. We need to examine our lives regularly. What's our object for doing it? Is it to bring ourselves to people's attention, or is it to please God? And I hope and pray that it is the latter, that we want first and foremost to please our God. Amen. No, we haven't got our worship leader with us, but have we found our voice? I will offer up my life in spirit and in truth. Jesus met with his disciples before he went to the cross. He gave bread and wine and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And the church has been doing this ever since. And so, we remember how he took the bread, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Could you? Thank you. Jesus also took the cup. He said, "This cup I have shed my blood for you on the cross." The bread and the wine are symbols of the body and the blood that Jesus has given for us. We will wait until everyone is served before we drink together. The blood of Jesus was shed for us, for the remission of sins. Let us drink and be truly thankful. So now we sing our last song. O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end.
Thank you.
May the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us and with all those that we know and love, both now and forevermore. Amen.